Good morning. The text for our chapel worship consideration this morning comes from the Old Testament book of the prophet Amos. In case you didn't know, Amos, maybe not one of the more well-known prophets of the Old Testament, lived in northern Israel during the time of the divided kingdom. And he was an outsider. You see, Amos was from Judah, yet he worked and prophesied in northern Israel. Amos, he wasn't your traditional prophet. He had no formal training. Rather, he was actually just a shepherd until God chose him to speak prophecies. The book of Amos consists mostly of declarations of God's impending judgment upon the nation of northern Israel. In addition to those, God also gives Amos several visions to give a visual description of what was going to occur. So this morning, our text comes from the chapter 8 of Amos. And now Amos, when you read it, it's one of those Old Testament books that sometimes can be difficult to read and even more difficult to understand. Why did God include this message of judgment and destruction in his canon? And what does it mean for readers like you and me in our modern day? These can be difficult questions to answer. However, I have found that a very helpful thing when reading the Bible, anywhere you are reading in the Bible, a great question to ask yourself is, where is Jesus in what I'm reading? So as I read a few verses from Amos chapter 8 this morning, I want you to think to yourself, where is Jesus in Amos 8? We read, "This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never pass again by them." The prophet Amos was given this vision. This basket of summer fruit appeared before him. At first glance, a basket of summer fruit seems harmless. However, God's explanation of the vision goes on to show us that it was far from that. Rather, it was a symbol of God's judgment to the Israelites and a warning to all of Christians of the extreme dangers of idolatry and the punishments that can result from it. So, in the second verse of our text, God tells Amos, "The end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass by them." You see, God's vision to Amos depicts northern Israel as the summer fruit which had been picked and placed into the basket. In these words, we see that God has very clearly run out of patience with his people. And it's hard to blame him. After all, God had been passing over their sins for hundreds of years. It all began in Egypt, about 800 years before the prophet Amos. You remember, the children of Israel had been stuck in slavery for some 400 years. But now the time had finally come for them to return to the promised land. The 10th plague of Egypt was coming, the death of the firstborn son. God commanded his children of Israel to take the life of an innocent lamb and spread the blood on the door frame of their houses. And that night when the angel of the Lord passed over their houses, he spared the lives of those firstborns. But that was just the beginning. God continued to pass over Israel's sin. Their complaining in the wilderness, their idolatry at Mount Sinai, their disobedience when conquering Canaan, their worshiping of Baal, their evil treatment of his prophets, the list goes on and on. The time for Israel's growth and development as God's precious fruit was over, for they could not ripen anymore. Well, what about you? How many times just this morning has God passed over your sins? Israel's growth had ended. They had become so entranced with their own earthly wants and success that they lost sight of the condition of their faith. Well, how about you? What's the condition of your faith? Is it growing? Is it shrinking? At times, we too fail to work at the growth of our own faith. Sometimes we'd rather concern ourselves with our job, our family, our hobbies, our sports, our video games, our TV shows, anything but God. Well, faith, we know, is alive. It's dynamic. It's either growing or shrinking. One or the other. There's no in between. Sometimes you might think, well, I go to church every week. That's good enough. I don't need to study my Bible or say my prayers before bed. Well, you'd be wrong. That's not good enough. Our God wants our faith to be growing, because unlike the unbelievers, He does not intend for you to be picked and placed into the basket to be devoured. You see, in the vision to Amos, the summer fruit of the nation of northern Israel had become so immoral and selfish that the time for their picking had to be soon. They would need to be devoured soon because the decay and the rot had already set in. The basket of summer fruit was a message of and a vision of Israel's impending doom. About 50 years after Amos had this vision, the nation of Assyria came in and destroyed northern Israel and took them captive and scattered them across the world, never to return to their homeland. So, where was Jesus in this text? Sometimes it's not always evident. Did you find Him? Well, we mentioned the festival of the Passover, which God instituted in Egypt, and the Israelites continued to celebrate once a year until Jesus' death and resurrection. The people of Israel had denied the Holy Spirit through their unbelief and their idolatry, but the meaning of the Passover lamb didn't go away. After all, God's goodwill toward His people is the reason in the first place why He instituted that Passover feast. It was a picture of our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. He was the fulfillment of that sacrificial lamb. Because of Jesus' work as a sacrifice for our sins, we know that God continues to pass over our sins every day. That ominous day on Calvary, when the land trembled and the sun went down at noon and darkened the earth in broad daylight, Jesus Christ, the firstborn and only begotten Son of the Father, took the sins of the whole world on His back and died for each one of them. His resurrection ensured His victory and yours. God looks at us and declares us not guilty. You are not the rotten summer fruit that the Israelites were. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." In Christ, we are a new creation. Not the rotten summer fruit, but rather healthy, fresh fruit, assured of eternal life, and prepared to live for Christ. Motivated by our God-given forgiveness, we are indeed able to put God first in our lives. We rejoice in the blessed fellowship that we have with our God and with one another. Here we find ourselves this morning worshiping and praising God, our great Redeemer, for the mercy which He gives us day after day, and not just this morning, but every morning, growing in faith through the Scriptures. We know that our salvation has already been achieved. The righteousness of Christ is ascribed to us, and it makes us fresh fruits of His creation. Not the summer fruit infected with rotten unbelief, ready to be picked. We are given the promise of Jesus' constant presence to be with us. In Matthew 28:20, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." As God's precious children, we are given the inheritance of eternal life in heaven, where we will never know rot or sorrow or tears, but rather only perfection. May God grant it so. We will sing about our Savior Jesus in the form of hymn 151, verses 1 and 3. 151, 1 and 3.